Forgive us the joy of your saving help again, and sustain us with your bountiful spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We have interesting lessons today, and it took me back to a galaxy far, far away, time long ago. It's actually Illinois, but it was like another galaxy. And I remember walking into my best friend's house. I was about fifth grade. And there was his brother, Donnie. Donnie didn't like me because I was in the fifth grade and he was in high school. And I was not cool. And he was cool. But Donnie had a woman's nylon hose pulled down over his hair. And I thought, And Donnie started to explain, which made me know that he was probably embarrassed. And looking back, he was embarrassed. Because otherwise, he wouldn't have talked. But he wanted to explain that his ears stuck out and his hair stuck out. And so he put the woman's hose on there to flatten them all out. I've often wondered about that strategy because I also have protruding ears. And so I've often wondered if maybe I could correct that malady by wearing nylon hoses. But nylon hoses are no longer in fashion. And so, my ears continues. You might wonder what that has to do with the lessons.
Yeah.
I wondered when I first had the memory myself. But the thing is, I think that it has to do with this. We're always trying to change things that we don't have any control over. Right? We're always trying to change things we have no control over, and my ears sticking out are one of those things that I don't have much control over. I used to worry a lot that I had these oversized ears, but I don't worry about that so much. Occasionally, but it goes away. I mean, that's one of the benefits of age, right? In today's lessons, we have a very peculiar exchange in the gospel. Between Jesus and two of his apostles, Andrew and Philip. You see, these two Greek fellows have come to Philip and they want to meet Jesus. And so Philip goes to Andrew, which suggests that there's a pecking order among Jesus' apostles. Maybe Andrew's a little bit closer. Who knows? Maybe he took care of Jesus' calendar. I don't know. But he goes to Andrew, and then both of them go to Jesus. But Jesus, I don't know whether you noticed this when the deacon was reading the lesson, but they have a very weird exchange with Jesus, right? Jesus doesn't say, "Wow, I'm really anxious to meet these guys." Instead, Jesus says, "The time for the Father to be glorified has arrived," and all of that. And you might wonder, what is that about? Here's what it's about. Jesus recognizes that these two Greek guys, and they're probably Jews from the diaspora, but they're coming from the diaspora. And so what that tells Jesus is that people are learning about him, and the time for his glorification and God's glorification is here. That it's no longer going to be the case that Jesus' message is going to be confined to Israel. But on the contrary, it's going to spread all over. And Jesus' awareness of that is the reason that he engages in this dialogue, because he sees that these two coming to Philip and wanting to meet him is a sign. It's a sign that the end is here. It's a sign that his ministry is complete. It's a sign that if a grain of wheat doesn't fall into the ground, it remains but a grain of wheat. But if it falls into the ground, then it grows. It becomes plants. And it gives birth to all of these things. And Jesus sees. Jesus recognizes in that his time has come, and that it's time for him to die so that he and the rest of us may live. And that's what he's doing. that this is about. And that's what the crucifixion is about. It's about life. It's about our life. It's about God sharing God's life with us. And God does that through the portal of death, that most awful experience. But Jesus says, if you love your life in this world, then you lose it. But if you hate your life, then you gain eternal life. And of course, that he's speaking as in this kind of Jewish hyperbole, right? This is all hyperbole. It's the way things were expressed at the time. He doesn't necessarily mean that you ought to hate yourself or hate your life. What he's really indicating is that you have to learn to let go. And many of us have confronted things that have put the fear of God into us, for want of a better expression. And if you're like me, you cling to this like this. But you see, when you do that, you don't have much life. There isn't much to your life if you're clinging to it like that. What can you do? What can you be? What can you become? If you're always clinging to your life like this, then you're trapped. And there's no freedom in that. And there really isn't any life in that either. I know that from the inside, and I bet you do too. But when we let go, and when we say, this thing that's moving through me, this life, doesn't really belong to me at all. I don't really possess it. Then you're free. It's the same thing as saying, gee, I have big ears, isn't that too bad? Right? You just let go. Because you don't have any control over that. There are some things we have control over, some things we don't. Some things we think belong to us, and they don't. Our life is one of those things that we think for all the world belongs to us, and it doesn't. This life force that moves through me, moves through the trees outside, moves through the birds, moves through the insects, that life moves through everything that's animal. You ever thought about that? It's life. And it moves through all of us, but it doesn't belong to me. I name that life that moves through me, Tim. But Tim doesn't really own that and doesn't have control over it. And the best thing Tim can do is allow that life to flow through him. And that's true for all of us. Because when that life flows through us, instead of us gripping it, trying to hang on to it, but we let it flow through, then we can heal not only ourselves, but we heal the world around us. And that's who we're really called to be. And that's what Jesus is reminding his followers of today. And in the reading from Jeremiah that Caroline read for us, that reading from Jeremiah, God promises that he's going to give his people a new heart. No longer a heart of stone, but a new heart, a heart of flesh and blood, a heart that will know God from the inside out. And no longer will we have to keep a law that's external to us, but the law will come up from within us. And that happens when we learn to let life and let God move through us and out into the world. Because that's the direction God wants it to move. And that's what Jesus is reminding us in today's gospel. That principle of life, which is God, that ground of our being, is something that we can channel, but we can't possess. We can't hold. We can't grasp that. Because as sure as we do, we squeeze the life out of it. There's no life there. There is life if we let it flow through us. And that's really what Christianity is about. We have all these very elaborate doctrines and dogmas. But it really boils down to this. Let God shine through you. that God lived through you, that God entered the world through you. That's what God wants. And truthfully, that's what you want too. You may not know it. I don't know it a lot of the time. But when we allow God to move through us, and when we loosen our grip a little bit on this life and accept what's coming to us, then we are free. And that's as old as Christianity. The whole notion that faith drives out fear. Faith is not a matter of believing something. Faith is a matter of trusting God. And that's who we're called to be. Trusters of God. So that God can move through us out into the world. And save the world. That's who we're all called to be. And so as we wrap up our Lenten season this week. This week will be Palm Sunday. As we wrap things up this week, I hope that you'll keep in mind the necessity of letting go and letting God. Letting God work through you. Because that's what God wants. And you know what? That's what you want too. Amen.
Amen.